A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Dav Gimel, Yevamos 3a, pagination is page 5. We'll start from a piece on the facing page. So we're on Beis Amud Beis, about 7 or 8 lines from the top, at the end of a line. Our Masechta introduced a principle regarding Yibum, that if the deceased brother was married to the daughter of one of the brothers, then that living brother is not going to do Yibum, obviously, on his close relative, in our example, his daughter. And not only that, but he won't do Yibum or Chalitza on any of the co-wives in that family unit either. They all become forbidden to him, and they remain Esh Es Ach, wives of his brother, even if they would go to a different brother to do Yibum, they would continue to extend this prohibition of a close relative related to him, and all the wives, all the women in that new cohort would also be forbidden to him. The Mishnah outlines this step by step, and I think that will be helpful before we go on to today's daf. The Mishnah says, Ketzad potros tzarosehen. How does it work that this close relative of the original Yibum case, how does it work that they will cause this absolving of Yibum Chalitza even on their co-wives in a new relationship? So the Mishnah explains, Haisabito achas mikolo arayas u'elu nesuas la'achiv. If one of these close relatives, like the living brother's daughter, was married to the deceased brother, v'lo isha acheres, and the deceased brother had another wife also, umes, and now he's dead. Kishem shebito petura, just like this concept of yibum, which is that the living brother should marry one of the wives of the deceased brother and try to create a legacy for him. Just like he will not do that with his daughter, kach tzarasa petura, so too the tzara, the co-wife, is also potter. Holcha tzaras bito v'nises la'achiv hasheni, if the co-wife of the living brother's daughter went and married a different one of the brothers who remains alive, now, that brother could have married the daughter of the first living brother that we were discussing, but he chose not to. He didn't marry his niece. He chose to marry one of the other co-wives. V'lo isha acheres umes, and he had another wife, and now he dies. So, kishem shetzaras bito petura, just like it's obvious that the woman that he married that was in the original deceased brother's home, that wife is not going to have Yibum and Chalitza with the living brother that remains because she at one point had a co-wife that was this living brother's daughter. Kach tzaras tzarasa petura. Similarly, the co-wife now is going to be potter, and the reason is because when the woman became free from the original deceased brother, she was not in a topic of Yibum or Chalitza, and therefore her status as Esh Es Ach, as the wife of the brother, remained. And that is a prohibition, to marry the wife of your brother. And therefore, when she goes and legitimately marries one of the other living brothers, but her relationship with this original living brother that we were discussing remains an erva, a prohibited relationship. She is an eshes ach without the permission of Yibum. And therefore, she would extend her absolvement of Yibum not only on herself, but to all of her co-wives, just like the daughter of this original living brother that we discussed not only was prohibited in his daughter, but also in all of her co-wives. Let's move on to today's daf on Amud Beis. So we're on Gimel Amud Beis 3b, pagination is page 6, about 8 lines from the top, at the end of a line, an abbreviation, which stands for Minohani Mili. How do you know this principle? That not only does the relative, and in our original Mishnah we mentioned 15 of them, how do we know that not only the relative is absolved of Yibum and Chalitza, but that the entire family unit, meaning all of the co-wives, are also absolved of Yibum Chalitza? The Tanu Rabbanan we learned, and this is a pasuk in Vayikra Yudches Yudches, Vayikra 18:18, easy to remember. Pasuk says at the end of Parshas Acharemos regarding the different arayos, prohibited relationships. Isha el achosa lo sikach, a woman with her sister you shall not take as wives. Litzror, because you're creating a situation of tsara, tsaror. We'll discuss that word in a moment. Legalos arvosa aleha bichayeha, to reveal her nakedness in her lifetime, meaning to have intimate relationships with her during the life of the sister. Now, this word bachayeho is not the focus of our Gemara, but I think it's important to point it out, that this relationship is only prohibited during the lifetime of the sister. Once the sister passes on, one is permitted to marry her sister. This is unlike the relationships that we've been discussing, where even after the catalyst for the prohibition passes on, the relationship remains prohibited. For example, Eshes Ach, the wife of your brother, we're telling the living brother that the wife of his deceased brother remains prohibited even after the passing of his brother, unless there is a mitzvah of Yibum. So that, for example, if his deceased brother had children, then his wife will be prohibited even after his passing. Likewise, if one of the co-wives is prohibited to this living brother, then this woman, who is a co-wife to that daughter, is also going to be prohibited, and the prohibition is Eshes Ach, the wife of your brother. Being that there is no mitzvah of Yibum Chalitza, that prohibition remains. It's unusual that there's an erva that's only prohibited during the lifetime of the catalyst, and that's this case, a woman with her sister. That being said, the Gemara is going to prove from here that we are to bundle, to group, the co-wives into one family unit. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch on that pasuk writes that the word soror really finds its origin in tightly bound together, as in the pasuk tsuror kaspo bisako, his money was bundled in his sack. Something that's together, bound, very often it could be, as in the usage over here, that it's a case where it's bound so tightly together that it's against the norm, and therefore it's compressing, it's confining, it's oppressing. But the word in its origin means it should be bundled together. And from this, the Gemara is going to understand that the women involved in the Yibum relationship are going to be bundled as one unit together, and therefore if a particular living brother is prohibited to one of them, he will end up being prohibited to all of them. How does the Gemara make the comparison from a pasuk that's dealing with a woman and her sister to the case of Yibum? And the method is because there's a comparison of a particular word that's being used. The word is aleha, upon her. Ma tamud lomar, what do you need that word for in this pasuk? Lefishanema yevama yavo aleha, because there's another pasuk that says, regarding the laws of Yibum, that this living brother should come upon her, aleha. I would think, even if the wife of your brother is a prohibited relationship, there's still a mitzvah to do Yibum. Comes along this word aleha to make a comparison to the section about arayas, forbidden relationships. Ma lahalon b'makom mitzvah. Just like Yibum is talking about a mitzvah, afkan v'makom mitzvah, so too the prohibition of achos ishto, the sister of your wife, is also, even if it's a mitzvah, it's still prohibited. V'amar rachmana lo sikach, and the Torah is telling you, even in a case of mitzvah, it's still prohibited. V'ein li elot hi tzarasa minayin, and now I know that she's prohibited because she's a relationship. How do I know the co-wife also? Talmud Loma Litzror. So the Pasuk says Litzror, to bundle them together, as Rav Hirsch explained. And therefore we know that in the case of mitzvah called Yibum, Achos Ishto, a forbidden relationship, will remain in force, not only on her, but also Litzror, on the co-wives, as well, because we're going to view them as a family unit. In the words of Rav Hirsch, the home is represented not by one of them, but by all of them together as one unit. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.